I'd like to discuss in this morning a question which has bothered many of the Rishonim and Achronim for generations. We know that the Torah writes in three places, in Parsha B'Shalach, in Parshas Shoftim, and in Parsha Kisavo, that there's an Issa to live in Mitzrayim as Man Azeh. In Parsha B'Shalach, the Torah writes, Kasher Issa mis Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, that which you see the Mitzrayim now, there's a sifu in the Rosh Moed of the Olam, you're never going to see the Mitzrayim again. In Parsha Shoftim, the Torah writes again, there's a sifon, Losha Baderech is a oid, you shouldn't return on this journey back into Mitzrayim. And in Parsha Kisavo, for a third time, the Torah writes again, Baderech, Asher Amarti Lecha Lois Yisifon, the Oysim Oedad Oilom. Now, in this particular way, which will come out of Mitzrayim, you'll never see this way again. The Ramban in Parsha B'Shalach writes that these words which Moshe Rabbeinu in Parsha B'Shalach told Klal Yisrael, that Lois Yisifon, the Oysim Oedad Oilom, you're never going to see the Mitzrayim again, it wasn't just a brocha. It wasn't just the Avtocha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Eden. You don't need to worry about the Mitzrayim, you're never going to see them again. It was actually an Azhorah, it's actually a Lav. It's actually an Issa for Klal Yisrael to see the Mitzrayim again. The Yerushalmi in Perek Hei, Masechet Sukkah writes clearly, B'shloshim Mekoymes, in three places, the Torah warned Klal Yisrael from going back into Mitzrayim. Pash B'Shalach, Pash Shoftim, Pash Kisovoy, the Chinuch, the Mitzvah Tov Kuf, Pasim Zemaisa says, this counts as one of the mitzvahs. There's an Issa to live in Mitzrayim, an Issa Olam, forever. The Rambam himself in Perek Hei, Lechaz Malachim, writes very clearly, there's an Issa that it's permissible to live anywhere in the world, except in Mitzrayim. So the question is, if the Torah has clearly told us in three places, that there's an Issa to live in Mitzrayim, something which the Yishalmi mentions as a Lav, the Rambam, the Chinuch. If so, how can it be that throughout the centuries, throughout the generations, there have been tens of thousands of Eden who have actually lived in Mitzrayim since thousands of years already from the times of the Gemara. The Gemara mentions in a few places that Eden lived in Mitzrayim. Until recently, in the 1940s, there was 100,000 Eden living in Mitzrayim. It's only today that the vast majority of Eden have left Mitzrayim. There's only about 20 Eden left in Egypt. But over the centuries, until this day, there's been tens of thousands of Eden living in Mitzrayim. How is it possible? How do we forever and explain how it's possible for tens of thousands of Eden to live in Mitzrayim throughout the centuries, if it's clearly, or it seems to clearly be violating three lavim in the Torah, three asurim of never living, never returning to live in Mitzrayim anymore once the Kadosh Baruch Hu has taken us out of there? Now the question isn't just on Klal Yisrael themselves, the question is even more so on the Rishonim and Achronim. Many Gedolei Rishonim and Achronim themselves throughout the generations resided in Mitzrayim. Reb Sadi Gon lived in Mitzrayim, the Shittim Kabetzes, Reb Tzal Ashkenazi, the Arizal, Radvaz, Mari Kash, they all lived in Mitzrayim, and we know the Rambam himself. The Rambam himself lived in Mitzrayim. The very same Rambam that paskens that's in Issa to live in Mitzrayim as Man Azeh, this Rambam himself lived in Mitzrayim. The Rambam was born in Spain, and after living in Spain for a short while, he moved to Morocco. From Morocco, he went with his family to Eretz Yisrael. And from Eretz Yisrael, he went directly to Mitzrayim, and he stayed until he was Nifter. Only after he was Nifter, they took his body to Tver, and that's where he's buried today. But the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim all the way around until he was Nifter. So how could Klal Yisrael themselves live in Mitzrayim in what would seem to be a clear violation of the Isur Torah of living in Mitzrayim? And how could Rishonim and Achronim, the Rambam himself, live in Mitzrayim for decades if the Torah clearly says that one should not live in Mitzrayim anymore? And the question is also for us, are we allowed to live in Mitzrayim nowadays? Or are we allowed to visit Mitzrayim? If somebody fancies a trip or a holiday to Mitzrayim to sightsee, or if somebody has any business to do Mitzrayim, there are many mashkichim who work for kashrus agencies that travel to Mitzrayim a number of times a year to give hashkoch on factories that are there to produce various things that are needed. Are they allowed to go and travel to Mitzrayim, if not to live, but at least for a short while? This is the topic which I'd like to talk about this morning. Now it's well known that the Kaftu Beferach in Perek Hei writes that he met once a grandson of the Rambam called Reb Shmuel, And Rav Shmuel told the Kaftar of Ferach that Hezeda the Rambam used to sign off every letter which he wrote, writing, Ani Moshe ben Maimon, I'm Moshe, son of Maimon, Ho'oiva b'chol yom gimel lavin, is over every single day three lavin. The Rambam himself, writes the Kaftar of Ferach, used to sign his name, saying, I am the Rambam, who's over every single day three lavin. The three lavin which we mentioned, Pash B'Shalach, Pash Shoftim, Pash Kisovoy, that one should no longer live in Mitzrayim. The Yavetz, however, questions the authenticity of this Eidus, and the Yavetz says that it can't be. The Rambam would never write on himself publicly, I am somebody who's over three lavim every single day. The Rambam wouldn't want people to learn from his own ways, and if the Rambam felt that there's an Issa deraisa to live in Mitzrayim, he would never write publicly, I am somebody who's over these Issuri Torah of living in Mitzrayim, he would never be mafasamin. The Yavetz also writes that we have many tshuvas from the Rambam, we have Shalos tshuvas the Rambam, we have letters from the Rambam, and none of them do we find the Rambam actually signs off his name. I am the Rambam who was over three Yisuri Deraisa every single day. So the Yavetz and other Achroinim question whether this is true, that the Rambam used to sign off his name saying, I am somebody who's over three Yisuri Torah every single day. Bevina Shvi, whether it's true or it's not true that the Rambam used to sign his name that he's over Gimel Lavi Torah every single day. What is certainly true is that the Rambam did live in Mitzrayim, and it's certainly true that the Rambam writes that one cannot live in Mitzrayim. And if so, the question is, how could the Rambam live in Mitzrayim and how could generations of Yidun and their Rabbonim, Rishonim, Achronim, live in Mitzrayim when it's clearly in the Torah and in many of the Rishonim, Moina, Mitzvahs, and Issa, the Raisa to live in Mitzrayim once Kaisel have left Mitzrayim. So I'd like to first begin by discussing a number of reasons that the Mefarshim give. Why does the Torah say that it's forbidden to live in Mitzrayim as Manazeh? Why does the Torah say clearly that it's forbidden to return to Mitzrayim? So Rabbeinu Bachai in Parsha Shoftim writes that the reason why you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim anymore nowadays is because the Mitzrayim are bad people, they're kofrim, they don't believe in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they have bad middos, they're megunim, they're terrible people, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want Yidden living in a nation which has such bad people in that country. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Bachai, the Torah says, you can live anywhere in the world, but don't go live in Mitzrayim, in a place which has such bad people living there. Others say, perhaps another answer, why the Torah was so makpid on not living in Mitzrayim, is if a Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim with Nisim and Nefilois, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to remember the Nisim and Nefilois every single day, Asher Tzeis Yeeskem Eretz Mitzrayim, the Nisim that happened there, then to go and live in Mitzrayim, which is the opposite of what Kodesh Baruch Hu did, the miracles of taking us out of Mitzrayim, therefore the Torah says, I've done miracles, I've done Nisim, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't go back to Mitzrayim and undo the Nisim and Nefilois and forget, so to speak, the Nisim and Nefilois that I've done to you. Famously, the Arizal writes a Pikabol, another reason why the Torah doesn't want us living in Mitzrayim. Now, Rizal writes that in Golos, throughout Golos, there's something called Mitzoritzes de Kedusha that spread around, sparks of holiness that are in every single place in Golos. Wherever Yid is, through his Avodah Hashem, he can somehow, I don't know exactly what this means, but he can somehow elevate the sparks of Kedusha that are stuck all over Golos throughout the world. It says that Rizal, that the Gemara says that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo'i, Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim, which Rashi says means they emptied out Mitzrayim. The Gemara Brocha says it means that they took Kli Kesef, Kli Zov, they emptied out physically all the wealth from Mitzrayim and they left Mitzrayim b'chush Gadol. It says Lariza that Klal Yisrael didn't just empty out Mitzrayim physically, they also emptied out Mitzrayim spiritually. And when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they took with them all the Netzotzes, the Kedusha that are stuck in Mitzrayim, all the sparks of holiness that are possible to elevate through our Mitzvahs and Masim Tovim, and they left Mitzrayim empty and bereft from all Netzotzes, the Kedusha. If so, says Arizal, the Torah says, don't go back to Mitzrayim, because there's no point living in Mitzrayim anymore, because there's nothing for you to do. There's no avodah that person would do in Mitzrayim anymore, because there's no Netzotzes to Kedusha there anymore. These are three reasons which the Mefarshim give for the Issa of living in Mitzrayim once Klal Yisrael have left Mitzrayim. Now Rabbeinu Bachai, who writes that the Issa of living in Mitzrayim is only because the Mitzrayim are such bad, low, despicable people, writes in Parsha Shoftim, it's not a mitzvah for all future generations. Rabbeinu Bachai says it was only a mitzvah l'shor for that particular generation and not l'doris. He says that once the Mitzrayim themselves have all died out, that generation have all gone, then there's no longer any issa for anyone else to live in Mitzrayim. If the Torah only told us not to live in Mitzrayim because the Mitzrayim are bad people and that we should learn from the ways of the Egyptians who are bad people, then once the Egyptians have all died out and that generation is no longer there, and says Rabbeinu Bachai, then it's permissible to live in Mitzrayim once that generation has gone. And the mitzvah was never meant for all future generations, it was only meant for the people of that time. The Rambam, however, and the Chinuch clearly write that no, it's actually an issa for all future generations, and the issa of living in Mitzrayim and the issa of seeing the Mitzrayim was not only specifically for that generation, it was actually also an issa for all future generations to live in Mitzrayim. Now the question on this Rambam is that the Rambam writes elsewhere in Perek Yud Beis Hilchos Esorei Biyah that Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, bilbes kol oilev, he mixed up the entire world. Which means the Rambam writes the Mitzrayim are no longer living in Mitzrayim, the Moavim no longer live in Moav, Ammonim don't live in Ammon. And the Rambam writes it concerning the halachos of the issa of marrying a Mitzri or marrying a Moavi or an Ammoni. The Rambam writes that you can't, just because something comes from the country of Mitzrayim, doesn't mean he's an Egyptian anymore. Once Sancheirev came and mixed up the entire world, it could be the Italians are living in Egypt, the Egyptians are living in Cyprus, and so on and so forth. So the question which all the Afrenim ask on the Rambam is if the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, are no longer living in Mitzrayim today, why would there be an Issa to live in Mitzrayim as Manazer forever and ever if it's not even the Egyptians who are residing in Egypt today? That's the question which the Achroinim all ask on the Rambam. To which the Minchas Chinuch answers a very simple answer. Minchas Chinuch writes that the Rambam held that the reason why we can't go back to Mitzrayim is not because of the Egyptians that are there, it's because of Egypt itself. The land itself is a bad place to live. Not like Rabbeinu Bachai, who says the Torah doesn't want us going back to Mitzrayim because the Mitzrayim are bad people. The Rambam held that the reason why one should not go back to Mitzrayim anymore is because the land itself is a very bad place. And that would explain why the Rambam held even today one should no longer live in Mitzrayim, since the land itself is a bad place, and even though there's no longer any Mitzrayim over there, but the land itself is a bad place, and therefore don't return anymore to the land of Mitzrayim. The Achronim write, if you look closely at the wording of the Rambam, you'll see the Rambam says this himself very clearly. The Rambam writes, don't go back to Mitzrayim, v'hi b'yad akum, if there's goyim ruling the country of Mitzrayim. The Rambam doesn't say v'hi b'yad Mitzrayim. The Rambam says v'hi b'yad akum, if it's in the hands of any nation. Unless Yidden themselves conquer Mitzrayim, then it'll be permissible to return there. But as long as Mitzrayim is b'yad akum, in the hands of any non-Jewish nation, says the Rambam, it'd be forbidden to go back there. Rambam Maaseh Mokul Kolin, because its deeds are bad. The Rambam doesn't say Maaseh Hen, the deeds of the people. It is Maaseh Ha, its deeds, seemingly referring to the land itself. Yosim Isha Arot, so it's more than any other land. The Rambam doesn't say Yosim Isha Ha Amim, that the deeds of the people of Mitzrayim are worse than any other nation. The Rambam says Yosim Isha Arot, so it would seem that we have here a clear machlokas between Rabbeinu Bachai and the Rambam. Rabbeinu Bachai held the issa of living in Mitzrayim only applies to that specific generation that left Mitzrayim and to those specific Mitzrayim. Whereas the Rambam writes, no, the issa of living in Mitzrayim is an issa for all future generations, and even if there's no longer any Egyptians in Mitzrayim, like the Rambam writes that Bar Sancheirev and he mixed up the entire world, even if Egypt is currently full of people from all other nationalities except Egyptians, it would still be also to live there because the land itself is a very bad place to be in. The problem with this is, if I just continue with the opinion of the Rambam for one minute longer, is that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, in Mitzvah Mem Vav, writes that the reason why the Torah doesn't let us live in Mitzrayim, she's Yirona Mishchoyim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, the Torah doesn't let us live in Mitzrayim, La'olam forever, Kedei in order, Shlo Nilmoit Kfirosam, we should learn from the bad ways of the Mitzrayim. We shouldn't go in their ways, which are despicable, Eitzelat Torah, comparable to the Torah. So the Rambam clearly in Sefer Mitzvahs writes that the reason we're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim as Manazeh is because the Egyptians are bad, they are koifrim, they deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they have terrible ways, and therefore don't go live in Mitzrayim. So clearly in Sefer Mitzvahs the Rambam thought the reason for the issa of living in Mitzrayim as Manazeh is because of the lowliness of the Mitzrayim themselves. Whereas in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam seems to say that the reason we shouldn't live in Mitzrayim is because of the land itself, and not because of the Mitzrayim. But which one is it? Is it because the people are bad people, or is it because the land is a bad land? And it would make a massive nafkamin if the people are no longer there, can we go there? And the Rambam seems to sometimes say it's because of the people, and sometimes say it's because of the land. So to answer this seeming contradiction in the Rambam, the Torah writes in the end of Parsha Bereishis, Vayah Hashem saw, Ki Rabo Ro Sa'odom Ba'oretz. Hashem saw, L'doy HaMabul, that the badness of the people, Ki Rabo Ro Sa'odom Ba'oretz, filled the land, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, if the people are so bad, I need to destroy the entire L'doy HaMabul, I need to wash them all away. And not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also said, I need to, Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also destroyed the first 15 Amas of the ground itself. And the questions which the Nesiv HaSholom, in the beginning of Parsha Noach, poses, is first of all, what does it mean in the pasuk where Yah Hashem, Hashem saw ki rabo rosa adam ba'aretz, that the people are very bad ba'aretz, in the land? Wouldn't it have been enough to just say Yah Hashem, Hashem saw ki rabo rosa adam, people are very bad? What's the lashon Yah Hashem ki rabo rosa adam ba'aretz? Also, he asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel the need to destroy the top 15 amas of the ground? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to just get rid of the bad people from the Dor HaMabul, then he could have just washed away all the people from the Dor HaMabul, and that's it. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to actually destroy the top 15 amas of the entire world? To which the Nesiv HaShalom writes is that there's two types of bad deeds that people can do. He says you have some people that do something called Ra B'Mikra, and some people are Ra B'Etzem. You have some people, like all of us, who are be'etzim good people, we all try our best, and we all do what we're meant to be doing. Every so often we slip up, we do something wrong. We're not inherently bad people, we're all good people doing our best. Every so often we can mistakenly do something wrong. He says, however, you have some people that are rab be'etzim, they're inherently bad people, and they don't just by mistake every so often slip up. The bad deeds which they do, that is their essence. They're inherently terribly bad people. He says the difference between these two types of people is whether their bad deeds contaminate the environment that they're in, or whether their bad deeds don't contaminate the environment which they're in. He says if somebody is a good person, who every so often does something wrong, so he's done an Aveira, and after the truth of his Aveira, but it won't contaminate the environment, it won't contaminate the land which he's in, it won't contaminate the areas around him. But if you have somebody who's inherently bad, and all he's doing is bad, and all he schemes to do all day is bad, and that's his very essence, then his bad deeds, his ra, will contaminate and be poigam in the very land which he's in as well. I think with this we can understand the Rambam, why the Rambam in some places writes that the issue of living in Mitzrayim is because of the people, and elsewhere the Rambam writes the issue of living in Mitzrayim is because of the land. And the answer is that the truth is it's both. The reason why the Torah doesn't want us to go live in Mitzrayim is because the people are very bad people, and I don't want you learning from the bad ways of the people who live in Mitzrayim. However, even if the people are no longer in Mitzrayim, since the people were so bad and they were rabbi etzem, then their bad deeds would contaminate the very land which they lived in. And therefore, even if the Mitzrayim are no longer living in Mitzrayim, since they were so bad and they were such koifrim and they were so low, they were the lowest nation in the world, then Mamele wasn't just the people who were bad. The people were so bad, they were contaminated the ground around them, they contaminated the environment around them, and therefore the Torah says, don't go back to Mitzrayim because the people are there. But even if the people are no longer there, don't return to the land, because the land itself has absorbed and become soaked with the Issa and the Tumah of the Mitzrayim who used to live there once upon a time. So in Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam says the reason why one shouldn't live in Mitzrayim is because the people are bad. In Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam writes that even if the people no longer live in Mitzrayim, the land itself has become so Molei Tumah that the land itself will be Mashpia on us. And therefore, says the Rambam, I don't want you living in Mitzrayim at all, ever, even if the people are no longer there, because the land itself is a bad place which will have bad influence and a bad hashpah on us. So Al-Kaponim, what we've seen is that Rabbeinu Bachai and the Rambam differ whether there's an issa of living in Mitzrayim for all future generations, or whether there isn't. Rabbeinu Bachai writes that the issa was only a mitzvah specifically for that generation. The Rambam writes it's a mitzvah for all future generations, and we've said the Rambam holds it's because there's two inherent problems with returning to Mitzrayim. The first problem is the Mitzrayim themselves, and the second problem in returning to Mitzrayim would be even if the Mitzrayim are not there, but the land itself is such a bad place that for that reason alone, even without the Egyptians there, one would be forbidden to return to Mitzrayim. So back to our original question of, so how come many people throughout the generations actually did live in Mitzrayim? So concerning whether one is permitted to go to Mitzrayim for a short-term visit, or just for schoira, or for business, or for leisure, the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi and the Ritva and Yomad of Lamed Ches, and Al of quote the Sifri, who both write that the issa of living in Mitzrayim is only to live there on a permanent basis. If somebody wants to go visit Egypt just for a short-term holiday, or just for some business, and fly in and out, then there'll be no issa of living in Mitzrayim as manazet. It's only to dwell there, to live there, and move there permanently, but not just to visit on a short-term basis. In fact, Chassam Sofer and Pash B'Shalach write that there were many tzaddikim who would travel frequently to Mitzrayim in order just to see Mitzrayim and visit the place, in order to see the nisim v'niflois HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Klal Yisrael, to see the places where the nisim happened, to see the Yom Sof and to see the various places where Klal Yisrael lived in those times, and to give hodah and bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having taken us out of Mitzrayim. So not only is it mutter to go live in Mitzrayim on a temporary basis or to travel there for leisure or for business, Chasam Sofer actually writes that many tzaddikim actually made a practice of it. So if somebody wants to travel to Mitzrayim for business or for leisure, not only is it mutter, perhaps it's even a minik tzaddikim, which the Chasam Sofer quotes. What isn't clear in the poskim is how long exactly is considered a short-term visit. Is it a month? Is it 12 months? Is it as long as you're planning on returning at some point? It's not mustaba to say that if somebody goes to Mitzrayim and he's planning on coming back in 50 years' time, that's considered a short-term visit. In Shuvas Heichel Yitzchak, Ebenezer Simeon Beis, he was asked the shadow by a bocher who needed to go to Mitzrayim for 3 years for the purpose of a shudduch. Now, I'm not sure why the shudduch would have taken 3 years. Clearly he wasn't chassidish, the bocher. But upon him, the shayla was, which the bocher asked, the Heichel Yitzchak, am I allowed to go to Mitzrayim and stay there for 3 years in order to get married? And the Heichel Yitzchak there is done. It's 3 years considered temporary, it's considered permanent. And he says it's not clear. There's no clear gedder that we find in the Rishonim at which point it's considered you're no longer here as a temporary resident and you're now here on a permanent basis. But the Maisi is more noita to say that if you're there for 3 years, it's still considered temporary. He's more noita to say that. But Al-Kaponim, many of the Yidden who did live in Mitzrayim throughout the generations were not there on a temporary basis. They were there permanently, them and their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. For centuries they lived there, not on a temporary basis. So the question is, on what did these Yidden rely on to live in Mitzrayim on a permanent basis? So I'm going to mention a number of ideas which the Rishonim and Achronim put forth to answer and explain how Yidden Taka could live in Mitzrayim throughout the generations, even though the Torah forbids it. So number one, we've mentioned already the Rabbeinu Bachai, who writes there was only a mitzvah for that particular generation, and it's not a mitzvah for all future generations. And according to this Rabbeinu Bachai, there's absolutely no concern for anyone to ever live in Mitzrayim once you're past the generation of the Dor who went out of Mitzrayim, and all the Mitzrayim from that generation disappeared. It's mutter. And even though many of the Rishonim disagree with this Rabbeinu Bachai, and they ask on the Rabbeinu Bachai that the Torah says clearly, but the Torah also says, don't go back on this way, which would seem to imply that even if it's not the Mitzrayim themselves, but the Maaseh, that's what the Rabbeinu Bachai said. And Heichel Yitzchak writes, the Rabbeinu Bachai is enough of an Adam Gadol for us to rely on, at least, and not to just make away with his shitta, which he says. The Ritva and the Matcha mention another reason why Yidden were permitted to live in Mitzrayim is, like we mentioned earlier, some Cherev came along and mixed the entire world up, and there's no longer any Egyptians living in Mitzrayim. And even though the Rambam writes that it's a din in the land, that the land of Mitzrayim is a bad place, not the people of Mitzrayim, but the Irish showed him that learned that it's a din in the Egyptians, and since the Egyptians are no longer living in Mitzrayim anymore, therefore it would be mutter to live in Mitzrayim, even though the land of Egypt stayed the same, but perhaps the Yidden relied on this Ritzvah and the Matcha, who held that it's only an Issa for if the Egyptians are living there, but not anymore once Sancheir has come and mixed up the entire world. The Ritzvah also suggests that perhaps it's only an Issa when the entire Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael. If the whole Klal Yisrael are living together in Eretz Yisrael, then the Torah says don't go back and live in Mitzrayim. But writes the Ritva that nowadays they were anyway all in Golus and were anyway all spread around the world, the Torah was only makbid on us living in Mitzrayim when the entire Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael, or the Beis HaMikdash were not in Golus. That's when the Torah said don't go back to Mitzrayim. But in this day and age when we're anyway all spread around the world in Golus, says the Ritva, perhaps there would be no Issa to live in Mitzrayim bizman hazeh. The fourth answer, which the Achronim mentioned, the Masa Ilfos and Shulamishav writes, that it could be the Torah was only makbid on the entire Klal Yisrael going back to Mitzrayim together as a nation. If Yechidim want to go live in Mitzrayim, if people on their own would like to go live in Mitzrayim, it could be that the Torah never said that you're not allowed to go live in Mitzrayim in such a case, and perhaps the Issa of the Torah to live in Mitzrayim was only referring to the entire Klal Yisrael together as a nation. The Arayim writes that perhaps the Issa of living in Mitzrayim is only if you go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, but not from any other country. He writes, the Torah says that you shouldn't go back, but Derech Hazeh, in this way, the way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, perhaps only in this way, the Torah says don't go back from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. But to travel to Mitzrayim from America, from Italy, from any other country in the world, says the Arayim would be permissible. Sholem Eshev takes it a step further, and he says perhaps it would only be Osir not only to go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, but only if you go the very route which Klal Yisrael traveled through the Midbar with the Membeis Masois, that very route which Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, it would only be Osir to go that very way from Eretz Yisrael back to Mitzrayim, and without that, there wouldn't be any other Issa. So these are some of the reasons which the Rishonim and Achronim mention why Klal Yisrael were able to stay in Mitzrayim Bezman Hazeh, either because the Issa is only for that generation, or because the Issa is only when the Egyptians are living there, or the Issa is only to go directly from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, or the Issa is only to go directly from Eretz Yisrael the exact same way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, or perhaps the Issa is only the entire Klal Yisrael together. But with these reasons, the Rishonim explain that's why Klal Yisrael over the generations were not makbid to live in Mitzrayim Bezman Hazeh. Now the problem with this is that the Rambam himself doesn't hold off probably any of these reasons. The Rambam himself went from Eretz Yisrael directly to Mitzrayim, and the Rambam writes that it's also even for individuals to go to Mitzrayim, and the Rambam writes that it's even nowadays, and even if the Egyptians aren't there, and even if it's just the land of Egypt, the Rambam writes very clearly that none of these reasons, according to the Rambam, would be good enough to live in Mitzrayim. And how the Rambam himself was able to live in Mitzrayim, so the Kaftar Eferach and the Radvaz both write, it's because the Rambam was an oinus. The Rambam was never planning on staying in Mitzrayim long term. He was only planning on going to Mitzrayim short term, which we said before that as a short term visit be permitted. Once the Rambam was living in Mitzrayim, he became close to the royal family and to the king of Mitzrayim, and he became a doctor to the royal family, and he was unable to leave. So since the Rambam planned on not staying in Mitzrayim, so the way in wasn't an Issa, because he was never planning on staying, and once he was there, he was stuck, and the Rambam couldn't leave. And that's perhaps how the Rambam was permitted to live in Mitzrayim. And the Chanam, yeah, he, that's what I'm saying. That's from the Kaftar Eferach. He writes that that I'm over every day 3 lavim. Yeah, but the Kaftar Eferach writes back there was an oinus, not mamish. One thing is interesting to note that there's no way in the entire Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah do we find the Shulchan Aruch says it's also to go live in Mitzrayim. Not in the other Chalak Shulchan Aruch does the Shulchan Aruch ever say, as a Shein Hechel Yitzchak, no way does the Shulchan Aruch say that it's also to go live in Mitzrayim as Manazeh. And the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Dalet, Simon Peizan, and the Echel Yitzchak both ask, why does the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah nowhere mention there's an Issa to live in Mitzrayim as Manazeh? The Rambam, the Chinuch, they all mention it. Shulchan Aruch is blank. It doesn't say you're allowed to go, it doesn't say you're not allowed to go, he just keeps quiet about it. So they both say that it would seem that the Shulchan Aruch actually held that there's no Issa nowadays to live in Mitzrayim for one of these reasons which we've mentioned, either because the Egyptians are not there, or because it's only directly from Eretz Yisrael, or because it's only the entire Klal Yisrael. But it would seem, say the Achronim, that the fact that the Shulchan Aruch misses out the Issa of living in Mitzrayim would seem to point that the Shulchan Aruch actually held, not like the Rambam, there's no Issa living in Mitzrayim nowadays because the Egyptians are no longer there. In fact, the Ramah, not in Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah in Daki Moshe, in the Evan Ezer Siman Dalet, actually asks the question, how come Klal Yisrael live in Mitzrayim? And the Ramah answers, because the Mitzrayim are no longer there. And according to the Ritva and the Motchev, if the Mitzrayim are no longer there, there's no Issa living in the land of Mitzrayim if the people of Mitzrayim are no longer there. But Kuponim, what we've seen is that the Issa of living in Mitzrayim is certainly only if you live on a permanent basis. And even on a permanent basis, we've seen various reasons which the Rishonim and Achronim give to explain why Klal Yisrael throughout the generations were permitted to live in Mitzrayim, even though the Torah clearly says that there's a love to return to Mitzrayim. I'd just like to finish with a vav. We see that the Torah tells us not to return to the land of Mitzrayim, which the Rambam says is because the land of Mitzrayim is a very bad place. The Torah calls the land of Mitzrayim Erev HaSa'aretz. The land itself is a dominant place, not just the people, but it's Erev HaSa'aretz. And because of that, says the Rambam, don't go back to the land of Mitzrayim. And it would seem that Zed Umazed, the Torah gave us various mitzvahs on Pesach, not just to be Mekadosh ourselves, but also to be Mekadosh our surroundings. If the Torah said, don't go live in the land of Mitzrayim because the land is a bad place, then over the Yom Tov of Pesach, the Torah also gave us various mitzvahs to be Mekadosh, not only ourselves, but our Seviva as well. We know the Torah writes the Issa of Baliro Balimotze, which the Rishonim say we don't find by any other Issa a din of Baliro Balimotze. There's no din Baliro Balimotze by Tarfas or by Chelev or by any other Issa. Torah, they're not allowed to own Bechlal the Issa. The Radvaz writes, famously, as do many others, that Chometz is connected to the Yitzhahara. And by the Yitzhahara, Kach Baruch Hu wants not just that our guf should be Torah, but also our very surroundings should be Torah as well. If the Torah took us out of Mitzrayim and says, don't go back to the place, because the place is a bad place, so Zel Umazeh, the Torah gave us a mitzvah of the Issa of eating chometz, but also Bali Roh Bali Motz, be Mekadosh your surroundings as well, be Mekadosh your environment. I took you out of a Tomino environment, and I'm giving you a mitzvah of Bali Roh Bali Motz to be Mekadosh your environment as well. In the same way, we find the Maril writes, the Minigan Klal Yisrael in most places is to wear kittel on Pesach by night. And the Maril writes, the reason why we wear kittel on Pesach by night is because every single Yid is comparable to a Kohen Gadol. Just like a Kohen Gadol, when he did the Avodah, had to wear Big Day Lovon, so that every single Yid on Pesach by night wears Big Day Lovon like a Kohen Gadol. Urchat says Sochad of Bells, it's the same thing. We wash our hands, even though we don't wash our hands, before we dip the rest of the Yid. Because we're like a Kohen Gadol, and just like a Kohen Gadol has to wash his hands before the Avodah, so too we also have to wash our hands. So Rav Nachman Silberschlitter writes in his Agodah Shel Pesach B'Yom HaDerech that if we are like a Kohen Gadol on Pesach by night, that we have to wear a kittel and we also have to wash our hands, then it has to be that our house becomes a Beis HaMikdash and our dining has become an Oel Moed. Because Rav wouldn't make us be a Kohen Gadol doing Avodah in our own dining rooms. If we have to be like a Kohen Gadol, then our house has to become like a Beis HaMikdash. So we see Zer Umazek, which Rav took us out of Mitzrayim, and not only took us out of Mitzrayim, but Mechadash us. He took us out of Mitzrayim and says, don't go back to a bad Tzviva, and not only that, turn your very own Tzviva into a Mokum Kodesh. Have the Issa of Baliro Balimot to turn your environment into a Mokum Kodesh, and turn your very own homes into a Beis HaMikdash, into a Mokum Kodesh. The Eibush Taka Helfen should be Zoicha to all the Oyers of the Chag, and should be Zoicha not only to Mekadosh ourselves, but also to Mekadosh our surroundings, and should be Zoicha to Kimetzeis Chameitzim Samar, and in the floor, we ask for the Tzedek, Meir, Amen.